Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with Kate Rhodes, which is me.
And Baysoon Wazwaz, which is me.
Fantastic.
Like it.
We've got a lot of things to go through today, and I am... First of all, I want to re-endorse Darlene Jones, who is running for AC Transit Director at Large. I was out there at I'm very upset, Maysoon. I was out there at Lake Merritt BART station this evening waiting for the 11, the Piedmont bound 11. The 11 bus line goes very far. It goes from the tippy-most top of the farthest hills in Piedmont.
That's true.
All the way out to practically fucking almost like Mills, like Fruitvale Avenue.
Because the 11 would be, when I was taking the bus to Mills, the 11 was all the way downtown. I mean, we're downtown Oakland too, but I'd always be like, wonder where the 11 goes. Does it go far enough? Should I get on the 11?
You could get to Fruitvale Avenue. You could have gone to our good friend Daisy Wong's house.
Does 11 go to like the Lakeshore area? Does it pass that spot?
No, the 12 does.
The 12 does.
Look here, point is,
sorry,
who cares where it goes? It goes to my house. So and sure enough,
it goes everywhere, and that's important. Also.
It goes every half hour. Two times it didn't come. An hour late means.
Did you wait for an hour? Did you wait for a goddamn hour?
Yes, I waited for a fucking hour, and I was like, fuck it, I'm just going to stay here.
I'm just going to sleep at the stewed.
Fuck it, I'll stay here. That should be the slogan of AC Transit.
That should be Darlene's slogan.
No, because Darlene's going to come in, and she's going to fix this shit. You know, Darlene Jones was a bus driver for 21 years, and she was on the Bay Bridge during the Loma Prieta earthquake.
On the bus.
On the damn bus. She probably fucking was carrying people off the motherfucker.
Oh my God.
I don't know that.
You should be campaigning for her. I mean, you kind of are.
You know who's the director sent her now a letter? And has been for years and years is Christian Peoples.
What do we
think?
And
he's not doing shit. His reign of terror must come to an end.
Has he ever been a bus driver?
No, probably not. He's never even been on
a
damn bus.
He's just a fucking administrator.
JK,
get him out of there.
I think he rides one. But he went out to fucking Germany to get these Van Hool buses, which cost more than regular, cut off fucking bus service to all the places that need it the most.
I am into having vehicles that function well, but I'm not into cutting service.
We got American-made buses that'll run just as clean and just as green and just as on time as they don't do now.
How about just as mean?
And just as mean.
So, note to everyone.
Darlene Jones. Vote Darlene Jones.
Vote Darlene Jones if
you're
voting in
the Oakland
election. And
look, if the buses are still all dicked up, you can come to me and I'll take full responsibility for it.
Oh, after Darlene Jones wins?
Right. The only reason Christian Peoples is still in that office is because he's the incumbent and people don't care about these little offices.
People don't give a shit. People just don't vote.
People get out and vote. Good Lord, Maysoon. They best be voting.
Can we please be voting so that I can finally go back onto Facebook without seeing articles about
so
the fucking
Maysoon
election?
So Maysoon can go back on Facebook.
That's the most important thing about voting.
All right, Maysoon, let's get right on down to brass tacks. We've got some listener feedback we need to come to.
Yeah.
Art Workers Anonymous had some strong words to say about Tom Sachs and a lot of fucked up, some cultural appropriation. He was doing some fucked up shit over there and seems like a little bit of a douche. We had all kinds of listener feedback about that, including people saying that they wish that we blasted him harder.
Yeah.
And had been even more scathing. I got to tell you, Maysoon, I still haven't seen the show. And we had people saying that they love the work and who gives a shit if he's an asshole.
Did we have people saying that?
Oh. Yep. So we have this little, I wanted to read out this little one, and we'll just keep it anonymous, okay? This person was like, they said that they really liked his work, they'd seen it in other places.
Yeah.
And they said, but they also said, on the other hand, I can totally see how Sachs would grate. Great snacks.
That's G-R-A-T-E.
Yeah, like a cheese grater. Mm-hmm. He's represented by Gagosian, and I'm fairly certain that museums of that caliber throw a lot of their weight behind their artists when their artists are showing at ICAs, Institutes of Contemporary Art. In fact, I know that Gagosian has sent staff to support artists showing in Bay Area ICAs. That's not that unusual. At the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if the show was financially underwritten by Gagosian, or if they had some deal, possibly implicitly and indirectly, that benefits YBCA financially. I do have high hopes for the new YBCA under Deborah Cullinan. But why the sax show now is a big question.
Mm-hmm.
I had a similar question about why they gave David Shrigley a huge show. To me, he's a decent artist, but far too overexposed.
Right.
Harsh words.
I don't think it's harsh.
Well, I mean, he can cry into his vault full of money. Similarly, I have the same question about Public Art Fund in New York City working with already established artists. I just don't get why curators / directors / art org seem to play it so safe. That's so with three O's.
I really like the Public Art Fund.
With artists already doing well in the commercial market. One thought. Some big deal artists I know are always comparing themselves to bigger deal artists, that they are constantly behind because they should have this many square foot studios, this many assistants, galleries in this many different cities, a lifestyle that parties in at Soho House with these cool celebs, etc. It made me realize that for emerging artists, the goal is often simply to be sustainable. But some, or many, established artists, that's established in quotes, may either feel that their good fortune is temporary, that it could all disappear, in quotes, and or that they have to keep the momentum going and do bigger, better, nonstop, because they are constantly making disadvantageous social comparisons, which is a recipe for unhappiness. I guess I'm thinking that Tom Sachs is not an artist in the sense of the artists we know and consider colleagues. He's an artist in the sense that he's a part of a much bigger industry, of which his job is to make sure his studio remains a part and that he has to keep his part of the machine going, whatever the costs. I suppose that's not newsworthy, but maybe that helps to frame why it's so odd that YBCA would have form part of the apparatus that those studios / industries engage with. I thought that was an interesting take, just going at it on like an industrial level, like a art industry. Because a lot of, I mean, she didn't really even address the like racial and
not at all. Nope.
I mean, all those things are kind of wrapped in together.
Yeah, people had already kind of addressed some of those other issues of his, and she was looking at it from presenting a slightly different perspective that hadn't been.
So that was very interesting.
Yeah, it was great.
Not really related to this, but I think on a general, overall, everybody clap your hands level.
Oh, okay.
That's always a thing of comparing yourself and your career to somebody else, and like there's always going to be somebody doing better than you.
I think that's a thing always everywhere. Yeah.
And let's give that a rest.
Let's give it a rest.
Let's give it a fucking rest.
Let's get over it.
Got some more listener feedback here, Maysoon.
Oh, good.
Okay, here's one. Hi, Kate and Maysoon. I was kind of horrified to hear that Cassie's project... Okay, this goes back to an episode where I described a art walking tour that Cassie Thornton and
the Seed Bomb, right?
This humanities dude named Max gave. It wasn't quite a... Well, and we planted seeds of this plant called the African tulip, which is an invasive species. I would say we probably, in total, planted about 30 seeds of this African tulip tree.
So not like...
Which is an invasive species. But we mainly planted them around places that were associated with this hedge fund manager, Tom Steyer. So in like corporate, like courtyards, places that were mainly very tightly manicured. Anyhow, so this, let me continue with this listener feedback.
Yeah, I like it.
I was kind of horrified to hear that Cassie's project included planting invasive species in the city. What's the environmental impact of introducing this plant into the ecosystem? While you may have been planting the seeds in private spaces, I'm guessing the seeds would spread the way that nature does, through the air, etc. I like the idea of the metaphor, but in practice, this could be a fucked up thing to do to the plant species of San Francisco. Hopefully, she considered all the angles when undertaking this project. Could be interested to hear a follow-up on this.
Well,
thank you. First off, thank you all listeners who write in. We love and appreciate the feedback.
Please keep writing in. My first comment would be like, this is not the first invasive species.
Yes,
in San Francisco,
there was
period.
A follow-up about the the eucalyptus obviously is an invasive species.
Yeah, it
sort starlings
of are starlings.
They're not native to the Americas.
Yeah, so I don't necessarily know if the invasiveness Cowbirds. Is a problem for me as much as like what its impact would be to the native environment. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really know anything about that plant, but if you think of those big grasses, I'm going to say like plumas or something.
So anyhow, some invasive
There's these invasive grasses that grow all along the coast, all along the bluffs going down to the ocean, all along the highway, like Highway 1. And they're gorgeous, gorgeous grasses that are really tall. They have these little poofs at the top that are just so pretty and they flow in the wind. But they're invasive as all get up and they suffocate everything. You know what I mean? So sort of like... It's funny because when you look at them, you're like, oh, they're so beautiful. We're talking about
P.S. Everything's dead now. And that's all we got is these fluffy grasses. Where are the
so there's
sequoia trees?
They wouldn't be on the coast, but well, actually, they might be. Anyhow, there was a whole movement to like basically kill those beautiful grasses to go in and cut off their heads before they had a chance to go to seed.
So how's that working out?
Haven't been following it lately. I think that's an interesting perspective to bring up. I hadn't even thought about like the invasive and potentially destructive. Although, I mean, that was kind of also the whole point of the project.
I think that, I was thinking it when I was on the tour and I asked Cassie Thornton, like, hey, man, are we fucking shit up right now? Like in a real way?
Like the environment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, the places where planting these are so like constantly landscaped that I don't think anything not planned is gonna survive because there's like, you know, constant, you know, inspection of the ground.
So the idea was that the plants would be pulled before they even had a chance to grow very far?
That might not have been the idea, like the intention of the project, but it seemed like they had, you know, the thing was mainly meant to be symbolic rather than for these plants to actually germinate and grow. Right. I also looked up that African tulip plant and I found like California garden clubs like telling each other how to grow it.
Yeah.
Like where in California are the best places to be able to grow it.
Right.
So there's people growing these.
Sure.
It's just a non-native
plant. It's non-native, yeah. Right. So there's definitely like Californians are really, really big on native, especially with the drought also. I mean, that's the benefit or that's the reason to think of planting more native plants because they are more drought resistant, drought tolerant.
I mean, people need to stop fucking growing lawns.
Well, that's no fucking joke. Are there lawns out here? I tell you, I don't see any lawns.
I see them around.
You have lawns in the East
Oakland
Bay?
Neighborhoods, yeah.
Yeah, okay. There aren't many lawns in San Francisco. Are there? I mean, there's like Golden Gate Park.
Where the houses are. You got to go up to where the houses are.
They don't even have yards.
They got yards. Backyards.
Yeah.
That should be an episode we do where we go knock on people's doors.
Do you have a yard?
We'd like to look at your backyard and see how many species of plants are native and non-native.
Okay.
Okay.
Listeners, if you have a backyard and would like us to do a quick inventory of your native versus non-native plants, please give us a call or email.
Email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com or you can call us 419-351-6606 or you could tweet us and we'll come right out
with our plant mobile.
Our Twitter is at Pine Tree Podcast.
I'm sorry,
my bad.
Before you go, I really need to know what is we, I'm just joking, just kidding, just messing around.
Okay, Mason, we got a little baby ramble. Do we?
Yeah, I have some rambles.
Okay, ramble it down on the road.
Rambling down. Hey, so today, happy Day of the Dead, all and everyone. If you are interested in the little Day of the Dead ritual procession in the mission, it will take place at around 7 p.m. at Bryant and 22nd.
That's the real event of the season. It gets real packed down there. Everybody's out.
Yeah, but
at
don't
night.
Come and get trashed. If any
don't
of
anyone ever get trashed. Yeah, I hope everyone that listens time, to this man. Podcast is a teetotaler.
Anyhow, I just think it's a really beautiful celebration, like celebrating the people who have passed away in your life and spending a moment to think about them.
Our old buddies over there at Control Shift are having an opening reception for their new show, Third Party, on Sunday, November 6th from 6 to 9. You're going to be seeing Lark Buckingham, Jonah Cheung, Rhonda Halberton, Zoe McCloskey, Erica Scordy. She's international. And Angela Washko, curated by Tanya Gayer.
Cool.
Looks good.
The little
picture
heart.
For the thing looks cool. This is going to be a good one. Videos.
Where is Control things. Shift again?
Control Shift is over there in West Oakland, 1430 34th Street. It's fucking cool.
This Friday at ATA, or Artist Television Access, there is a show called Many Worlds, an evening of sound, film, and video performances featuring Buttons and Faith Arazi, All My Senses Rebel and Conrad Steiner, and Dire Wolves and Paul Clipson. And cool. That starts at 8 p.m. It's $10. It's a fucking awesome place to support.
ATA is the best.
ATA is the best. You should all go. I need to go like at least once a month, and I'm trying to do that. So I'm
it's
going
right
to this.
It's right by your house.
I know. I'm excited.
Okay, May soon. We're going to check in on that.
I'm checking.
This is the first thing we're really going to check in on.
Okay, but really quick, if you can't go to ATA, if you're closer to 16th Street, let's say, and you're like just popping through, mm-hmm. maybe.
And you have to go to a funeral.
And you have to go to the Roxy.
But you've got a little bit of time for art.
Yeah. I still haven't been to one of the talkies.
Oh, I'm going on Friday.
But their talkie this week is on voting, or it's called Vote Talkies, uh-huh. which I'm into. So yeah. Maybe there'll be some political humor that we could all really use.
Well, Odium Fati. Okay, this is my old friend Diego Villalobos. Has a little weird garage gallery or whatever. And it is at 600 Second Avenue in San Francisco. They've got a new show going up. Anya Weiser Flower. You may know Anya if you've ever been to a talk at SFAI. Anya is always asking questions during the Q&A.
Oh, cool.
I'm pretty sure if this is the Anya I'm thinking of. Anyhow, this is going to be a show not to miss. And it is up from November 13th through December 11th. Opening reception Sunday, November 13th from 12 to 4. And their viewing hours are, because this is a little weird gallery like we have.
Yeah.
Their viewing hours are Sundays from 12 to 3, and you can also go there by appointment. So check them out if you haven't already. Or even if you have already, check them out again.
Another event coming up that I thought was interesting is at Counterpulse. Have you heard of Counterpulse? You know Counterpulse, performance space in San Francisco. It's a performance called Rainbow Logic, Arm in Arm with Remy Charlip. Do you know this? Have you heard of it? I've never heard of Remy Charlip. But he's described as an overlooked genius. Remy Charlip created important works alongside Merce Cunningham, who's one of my heroes, John Cage, another hero, and Robert Rauschenberg. A transdisciplinary performance weaving live action, dance, puppetry, video, and music. Rainbow Logic is just as much a celebration of an exceptional life as it is a meditation on the art of living.
Rambling on down to Cliff Hengst and Scott Huicker are having a show called Golden Prison. With a Z.
Right. P-R-I-Z-N.
Like prism, but prison. And that is going to be at Gallery 16. And I believe the opening is this Friday from 6 to 9.
It is, but I'm excited because I haven't seen those guys, like their work in a while, like out in
a show.
And
they're lovers.
And they're awesome. And they're lovers. I mean, lovers and lovers.
Uh-huh.
Know what I mean?
No, I mean, they're lovers with each other.
There's a show at Gallery Della Rosa that sounded interesting to me. Called Reckoning with History. It's a solo show by Carlos F. Jackson. It's, I believe, already on view, and it's open through November 23rd. But the works presented bring together three strains of imagery, all manifested as large format 3x4-foot screen prints.
There's a show going up I'm personally excited about at Bass and Rainer, and it's called El Habito, with works by Marcela Pardo Ariza and Lorena Zertuche Diaz. So what I've got. So anyhow, that's it. Bass and Reiner. There's going to be photographs. They look awesome. There's going to be other things or not. And point is, it's at Minnesota Street Project up there on the second floor.
I got one more.
One more, Mason.
One more. Last, final, final. All right. We got a piece called, we got a show called The Pieces Between with Audra Knutson and Jesslyn Olland. They have a show up at The Mill, 736 Divisadero Street in San Francisco, open through November 20th. Go and see it.
So if you have any events you'd like us to shout out on the show, you can send them to us at our email, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. But I got to say, if you are really wanting us to shout them out on the show, you got to say, hey, Kate and Maysoon,
shout this out on the show.
Shout this out. Don't just put us on your mailing list and expect us to read every time you send something.
Why don't you put it in your subject heading of your email?
Say, hey, congratulations, Pine Tree. Shout this out on the show.
Ooh, we should put a thing on our website.
That's all you have to do. Just forward us your thing, but say, hey, shout it out. And we'll shout it out. Unless you're like really making a shit ton of money, then we might ask for you to pay us.
Yeah. Why don't you just donate while you're at it?
Yeah, donate while you're at it. Go to our website, congratulationspinetree.com. And I forgot to like reiterate, we put it at the very end of an episode a couple of episodes ago, but we've got some t-shirts that people can buy.
Kate wore one of the new t-shirts at our Headlands episode.
I loved it.
It was amazing.
I haven't worn it since because I don't want to get it dirty.
Wait, guys, and here's the deal. You can order whatever fucking color you want. They come in all different color combinations. So you don't need to have the orange with the green tree and the pink headphones.
No, you do need to have the green tree, though. The tree color doesn't change.
All right, so you can change a t-shirt color, whatever you want. You can
get it printed on any kind of t-shirt. Anyhow.
Do they have yellow?
You can go right to that cpt.threadless.com. They do have yellow, but I don't think they have it in every t-shirt style.
Got it.
You know what I mean?
You got any lady tank tops up there?
They got tanks.
Cool. I'm on it.
Maysoon, didn't you tell me about some kind of article you wanted to kind of chit-chat about?
Totes. So a friend of the show, Jimbo Trout, pointed out an article to me a few weeks ago in the Chronicle. What date are we here? Fucking A. Don't they put the dates in the paper anymore?
How are the people gonna know when the fucking kidnap victims are?
I know. You're supposed to have the date on.
All right, this is another goddamn road bump in our cock.
October 8th.
Listen, people, something is wrong with the stars. Mercury's in retrograde. The crystals aren't in alignment. The newspaper doesn't have the date in it.
Kate, get a grip. You're going to be okay.
Is Mercury in retrograde?
Can you just make sure you make it to Election Day? I'm calling you in the morning. I'm like, did you vote yet? Don't get wrapped up in this Mercury in retrograde situation.
I'm getting wrapped right the fuck up.
Don't you get wrapped up in it.
I'm getting wrapped up.
Wait, while you look, I need to review this. So, yeah, right. So, in the datebook section of the SF Chronicle from Saturday, October 8th. There was a little article by this woman named Milner. She's on the back page.
Mercury's not in retrograde, Mason.
You are in retrograde.
Okay, go on.
Anyhow, she does a little exploring, or she does a little research into Minnesota Street Projects.
Okay.
And what they're...
the ongoing saga of MSP. I also, before you get into that, Mason, I'd like to cast aspersions in a whole nother way, was that the Big Prince party... Around that, the show Glenn Helfing curated. You know how they had the big party at the end with Bonanza and Sophia Cordova, and apparently some of the gallerists and some of the people that are like higher ups, if you know what I mean, at Minnesota Street came and like fucking screamed at people for having the music too loud.
It was a fucking party on Saturday night. Get a fucking grip.
Don't invite young artists to come and do cool shit at your place if you're just going to yell at them.
If you can't hang. They all closed their galleries anyhow. Remember? They all like closed early because they were too...
I don't want to be part of an art world where you have to turn the music down.
JK, kind of.
Just gay JK, underwritten.
Just gay.
Maysoon.
Gay JK.
We haven't redacted anything in a long time.
Let's redact the whole show.
Well, we have a lot of redactions, so let's redact, I think, at least the last 40 episodes.
That's too many. How about 38?
No, I mean, I think that's how long it's been. So I want to redact back to when the last time we redacted.
Just
wrote
to protect ourselves.
I redact
here.
It all. I redact everything I said in this episode, except people do need to vote for Darlene Jones. And I redact everything in the future.
So we're covered?
Covered. Okay, go ahead.
All right. So Callie Milner says in the Chronicle, she's just looking into Minnesota Street projects. I'll just read a few sentences here. Adobe subsidize. So Adobe.
They have one of the studios, right?
Right. And they subsidize the cost of artist studio spaces at 1240 Minnesota Street across the
street. Oh, the whole thing?
From gallery spaces that are open to the public.
That's where the studios are.
Right. So far, so good, I thought. We're talking about a classic patronage model like the Renaissance Italy.
The old Renaissance. And how great was that? The Renaissance. JK, fucking syphilis. JK, I don't know if they had syphilis.
Artists got paid, though.
I don't know. Bubonic plague? What did they have back? I mean, nothing. I mean,
talking about
let's
the
not look back to the Renaissance like it was the damn golden age.
Well, I guess she was. The new wealthy class demonstrates not just its taste, but also its social and economic power. Oh, God, Kate. Just in case it's doing a Google search. By providing hand-picked artists with reliable incomes in exchange for products, demonstrating the patron's greatness.
I have some more gripes.
Oh my God, you're really on one.
You got some gripes?
Well, I just want to say that the election is coming up.
Please vote, everybody.
I feel very adamant that you vote.
Holy.
Hey, did you?
No, Maysoon, listen to me.
Wow.
When our next episode comes out,
we're going to have a new president.
We'll know who the motherfucking election shit chose. The election will be over.
It's true.
I feel like this election cycle has been going on since the day I was born.
It has been. It's been intense.
I don't know what I'm going to do once it's over, because I check the damn polling shit and listen to the podcast and all that shit every damn day. Anyhow, people, vote. This is really serious election. Even if you're not going to vote in the presidential because you're like, Bernie didn't make it. There's a lot of other shit that's just as fucking important.
So much important stuff.
Yeah. So listeners, go back a few episodes to our Vote 2016 Voter Guide episode if you want links to voter guides.
It's like 3 hours long.
Also, there's links if you just want to see a paper piece of internet screen with just yes, no, blah, blah, without all our rambling.
Yeah.
Or you can listen to that episode on your way to your polling place.
But there's some important stuff. There's, you know, hotel tax that supports families and artists.
That's S. Yes on S. Anything else, Maymay?
I think that's it. But I do want to like go to all of our listeners' homes.
I feel like
one at a time and be like, hi, are you voting? Did you have any questions? You want to talk it out? I know people that don't vote and it stresses me out like endlessly. Why would you just totally take it like
it matters? It matters. It's not just the national shit. Like your county, your city, your town has shit that they want to decide.
We're like voting for supervisors. These are people who can make decisions
and
for our neighborhoods.
And some of the stuff might be really close and your vote matters. Your vote matters.
It's really true.
So please vote.
Don't feel too, you know, jaded by the whole system. It's fucked up. I agree with you.
But part of why it's fucked up is because people don't care, pay attention, and get out there and try to change it.
Change it.
God damn you, people.
We love you, but God damn it.
We love you. And from the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been Congratulations, Pine Tree.